So, today's a good day to do new things, right? Maybe. Today's a good day to do new things. So I was asked if I wore the shirt because I was playing the ukulele this morning. No, that wasn't the case, but it worked out good, didn't it? No, this is actually a shirt from Burundi. So it's a little far away from the place where they play ukuleles. But anyway, new thing. I normally, and as long as you guys have known me, I have always preached how big passages. Usually pretty sizable, right? I cannot ever remember a time where I ever focused on just one verse. So, something new today, okay? More, it's just a good day for new things, right? Yes, and it's a good day for us to try new things, right? Like kids trying broccoli for the first time. Ugh, yes, yes. So today we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 13, and we're going to look specifically at verse 1. Now, we are going to touch some other verses just a little bit, and we are going to do some cross-referencing just a little bit, but we're going to focus solely on verse 1 today, all right? And it really is easy. I think you guys can all memorize it, because I bet I can get you to memorize it today in two languages. I'm going to teach it to you in English, and I'll teach it to you in Greek, okay? So that way you can all know a little Greek. His name is Jimmy the Greek. No, just teasing. I'm going to read the whole paragraph so we have some kind of a context of what we're talking about. But we're going to focus on verse 1. It says, "Let brotherly love continue." Now, you got it memorized? Okay, good, good. "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will keep the sexually immoral and adulterous." Or God will judge. I'm skipping lines here. My contacts are doing funny things. "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we can confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me.'" Right. So we're going to be here in this one verse. Okay, I told you, if we see it in English, everybody's got "let brotherly love continue" memorized. You got that down, right? So you can say it with me, "Let brotherly love continue." Now, it's really easy. In Greek, it's technically three words if you count the article, but I like thinking of it as two words, okay? So the first word is, "Hey, Philadelphia." Say, "Hey, Philadelphia." It's like, "Hey, Philadelphia." Okay. It's, "Hey, Hey, Philadelphia." Now I had it memorized. I think. Now I have to get my silly Greek Bible out. "Hey, Philadelphia." And it's the root word is meno. I know that one. It's megan. This is the most frustrating thing in the, you know, when you get a little pressure and you forget things, like names. I forget names so poor, it's all the time. So anyway, it's, let me get to the right spot. I don't want my ESV, but anyway, I'll work on this and try to talk at the same time. And my wife is probably laughing at me because I can't do two things at once. There we go. Oh, good. All right. Come on. Info. Meneto. There we go. All right. Okay. So, meneto. So you're going to remember that, right? Meneto. Meneto. Everybody say it together. Meneto. So, "Hey, Philadelphia, meneto." There, you've memorized another verse. You've memorized the verse in Greek. So, "Hey, Philadelphia, meneto." There you go. All right. That hey, Philadelphia, Manetto. Manetto is the verb, and like you really want to know this, but it's a third person imperative. You know what that means? It means that we're all included here. I should say it's a first person plural. Manetto. First person plural, that's what it is. We're all included in this. So the writer of the Hebrews is saying, not necessarily let it continue, like allow it, but he's saying, let's all pursue brotherly love. Right? And it's not a suggestion, not like let's go do this, like let's go play ball or let's go play or let's go swimming or let's go camping, okay? It's a command, okay? Let's do this. This is, it's not up for suggestion, okay? In English, it kind of says, let it continue, allow it. Or when we use the word let's, it's kind of like, hey, let's do this, it's fun, okay? But that's not it at all. What he's saying is, love, let's all love each other, the brothers, okay? Because, remember our context of Hebrews, okay? What were these people going through? Remember? Persecution. They were losing what? Jobs, families. They were being put through it. It was hard. It was tough. These people were being persecuted so much so that they were tempted to do what? Go back to the law. They were tempted to, we might call it apostatize. Okay, you know what apostatize means? To be apostate, to turn around and basically reject Christ. They were being persecuted so much that they were unwilling to follow Christ anymore. And they said, you know what, God, I don't want anything to do with you. And they were turning back around and tempted to go back into their old way of life because they thought of it as a refuge. They thought of it as a safe place. Okay? So imagine with me, okay, put yourself in Jonah's position. Jonah, why were you bringing up Jonah? Jonah was in what? He was in a boat, right? He was in a boat and there was a big storm. Rough water. Jonah, that Jonah. What did the people around him do first? You're in a storm, you're in a boat, what do? You panic, okay? You're in a really, really bad storm. What's the first thing you do when you're in a really, really bad storm and it doesn't look like it's going to let up? What do you want to do with the boat? Lighten it, okay? And so what do? You start throwing stuff off, okay? Same thing in the book of Acts, okay, with Paul. Paul was out, he was on that prison ship and they were out trying to get to Rome, and what did they do? Oh, we're caught in this great big storm. It could last for a long time, and so they start throwing stuff off the ship. They throw all the tackling off. They throw all the food off. They throw everything off that they can to lighten the load so the thing stays afloat. All right? When we're in a struggle, when we're going through a hard time, what do? We lighten our load, right? We stop doing some of the things that we like to do. Right? Well, let's just say I'm going through persecution and it's tough and it's costing me. Okay, I'm sacrificing. I'm having trouble. So guess what? I can't go play golf anymore. I can't afford to watch the Hawkeyes play anymore. I mean, this is really sad stuff. But what happens when you go through it? When you go through a tough time, you have to start lightening your load, right? So that you can make it through. Sometimes, as we go through certain situations, we lighten our load a little too much. We get down, we get focused on our problems, we get focused on what's going on, we get focused on the persecution, maybe we get focused, hyper-focused on us. And what happens to the relationships in our life? We lighten our load. I can't deal with this person right now. I can't act kindly like I'm supposed to. And so what the writer of the Hebrews is getting at here, as he's telling us that Jesus is so much better than anything that they could possibly imagine under the law, because that it's the law is no longer a refuge for them, because we need to continue to move forward, because judgment happens when we go backwards, okay? It gets tough, and so therefore one of the things that we tend to let go of is what? Brotherly love. That's why he brings it up here in chapter 13. He says, let brotherly love continue. Hey, Philadelphia, Mineto. We must persist in, that's the meaning of the word meno, okay, meneto. We must try hard in our relationships. All right? Then, okay, which relationships are he talking about? He says brotherly love, okay? We understand that to be Philadelphia. Okay, hey, Philadelphia, brotherly love. What is he talking about? What does it mean to love the brothers? Who are we talking about? We are talking about church, okay? Now, we've already, you know, we know the city of Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love, right? Yeah, that's kind of its nickname. Not really, but it's its nickname. But have you ever stopped to consider what it means to have, or what brotherly love actually is? What do you think? Okay, brotherly love, if I were to say brotherly love, okay, we know what agape love is, agapao, okay? That's God's type of love. That's sacrificial. There's no, not necessarily emotions tied with it at all, okay? You love for somebody else's good. What is the difference between agapao, agape type of love, 1 Corinthians 13 type of love, and then Philadelphia, brotherly love? Let brotherly, in fact, it's mentioned a lot in Scripture, and we'll get there. Philadelphia, what's the difference? Do you know? Have you ever heard the difference? So, what is a brother then? We'll start here. What is a brother? There we go. Okay, brothers! And there was a slap involved. Me and my brother, we have brotherly love. And, you know, it's that type of, it's a type of love that says you better not mess with my brother or my sister, but in the meantime, you're back pounding on them, right? Okay, that's brotherly love. Okay, brother means it has the idea of family. It's familial. Okay, so now we have this idea of family. Okay, maybe you don't have a brother. Maybe you have a sister. Maybe you're an only child. But let's think about this idea of Philadelphia, brotherly love, being in the context of a family unit. Okay, now we kind of understand what it means, right? Brotherly love. So, what is it in your own family? What are the kind of bonds in a family? A healthy family. What are the kind of bonds in a healthy family? What are they like? Everybody's quiet today. I hear some laughing under breath. But we've really got that Minnesota, I'm going to sit back here and be nice and not say anything. Sacrifice. Okay, there is some sacrifice in Philadelphia, okay? Why? Because I'm looking out for my brother. Okay, what'd you say? There's a history. Okay, good. I like that. Good, good. There's a history. What else is there? Okay, there's frustration. But normally with the frustration in a healthy relationship, you've gone through some things, okay? Again with the history, good. Trust, ooh, okay. Sharing, good. Okay, there's some expectations. Yeah, there's some back and forth. Respect. Forgiveness. Good one. What? Honesty. Okay. This is a very relational type of word, okay? Agape love is kind of one way. You're sacrificing for the good of the other person, or God sacrifices for us without expecting anything in return. Philadelphia is kind of like, it's the family type of a bond, all right? I feel comfortable in it. I feel, okay, like I love. There's a kind of an affection to it. There are warm fuzzies to Philadelphia, okay? You know what I'm talking about. So when I go hang out with my family in Texas, okay, my brother-in-law, I have brotherly love for my brother-in-law. And so what do I like to do with my brother-in-law? We go hang out. We go do stuff together. We sit down. We share stuff. You know, I've talked about some pretty deep theological things with my brother-in-law. Okay? Kind of get personal, right? Now, so we kind of understand what a healthy family relationship is supposed to be like. You might think of it as a best friend type of a love, okay? Like Jonathan and David back in 1 Samuel 18. Okay? They did everything together. They went out and they would go out and they would go hunting and they would go practice their combat skills together, and they loved each other. They talk about the Lord together, different things like that. Okay, so that's kind of the next step up, right? You go from the family, you go to the friendship relationship. Who are my friends? But is the writer here talking to the family unit? No. Yes, he's talking to the church. Wow, now that takes things a little bit further, doesn't it? He's telling the church, let, okay, this is a command, brotherly love continue, or continue in it, or persist in it, work at it. Okay, which assumes what? I hear little quiet voices. Okay, what's was? Family. It assumes that there's a relationship there, isn't there? It's the potentiality for the relationship is there. Why? Why is it there? One spirit, one flesh. We are all children of God. We've been adopted into the same family. Okay. So let's now talk about what this means. I want you guys to look around. Now, I know we have some visitors in here that visit occasionally, and thank you for being here, and thank you for worshiping with us. But you can do this when you go to your church. But if you're here today, and this is your church, you call this is your family, I want you to look around, right? I want you to notice people, okay? Look around. And I want you to think, okay, I have that familial relationship with this person, with this person, with this person. This is, okay, I want you to start thinking in your mind, I have this familial relationship with these people. Okay? Start picking them out in your mind. Feel free to look around. It's okay. Now, as you looked around, I am guessing that there are a couple people that you don't have that relationship with. You got them in mind? Now, question. How are we supposed to follow this command of Scripture if we're not working on those relationships too? Because what is one of the first things to go when you're in trouble? You get hyper-focused on you and your problems, right? And this is how it works in my life, okay? I get quiet, I get where I'm not communicating with the rest of my family, you know, within my family unit. What happens when I get stressed out? I stop communicating. I stop communicating in a good way. Now all of a sudden, when I'm under pressure, which in persecution I believe you'd be under pressure, but when I'm under pressure, how do you think I react when one of my children act up? What's a temptation? Anyway, I get short. It happens, right? Do you get short with people when you're under pressure? Okay, everybody's nodding. Maybe you are a very patient type of person, right? Patient type of person, that's awesome. Steve's over there going, yes, this is my wife, very patient. She doesn't get angry. But we often get short. This is often one of the first things to throw out. But the problem is, it shouldn't be thrown out at all. Do you remember back in Hebrews chapter 10, one of the commandments, one of the fixes to the warning passage was, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, right? You remember this out of Hebrews. We remember that as we have gotten to this last section, things have gotten really relational, haven't they? Because when we're going through a storm, when we're going through a hard time, are we meant to go it alone? Absolutely not. We're meant to go through it with family. We must continue to develop the relationships in this family, because those are the relationships that are going to help us get through our trials. Those are the things that are going to keep us on the path to righteousness. We cannot do this alone. In Hebrews chapter 12, he says, look, we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, so lay aside the weights, okay? If there's some, when you're in pressure, there's some good things to let go of. And run the race with endurance, because it's tough. Looking to Jesus, you have an example. But we're to do this together. We're to walk this Christian life together. What that means is, when it says, let brotherly love continue, that we need to be a part of each other's lives. And I know that that's happening. I do know that it is happening. You know why I know it? Because I've experienced it, okay? My wife and I've only been here a very short year and a half, okay? It seems a little longer than that, not in a bad way, but in a good way, okay? Like we belong here, okay? That's what I mean. And we have experienced people treating us like family. Okay, we've experienced that. I know it happens. But the trick then is what? Not to go back to the same relationships all the time and building the same relationships all the time. What happens then? Then we have a church that's divided in cliques, right? I have my friends, and these are the people that I hang out with, and these are the people that I communicate with, and I'm not really going to reach out to other people, right? I'm not really going to build relationships with everybody else, right? That's what it tends to happen. Now, especially when you're going through troubles or trials or persecutions or something else, or there's pressure involved, okay, you might have one or two people that you'll talk to, but there's, how many people are here this morning? And how many of those people might have the answer that you're looking for? Who might have the encouragement that you need? Because there are some people in here, I know for a fact, that are very good at encouraging. What if you don't have a very good encourager in your small little group of friends? What happens if your small little group of friends goes on vacation without you and you're stuck in your, what happens? Well, now you're left going it alone. The point of the family is to act like a family. I'm not saying that the relationships are perfect. In a family, you know what? There's some arguing that goes on. There's some building up that goes on. There might even be a little tearing down sometimes. But it's the idea that you have this bond with these people based on who you are in Christ. Doesn't matter how much money I make or how pretty I look or don't look or whatever. We are family. Doesn't matter how successful we are. We're family. It doesn't matter if we're the white sheep or the black sheep. We're family. And so here the writer of the Hebrews tells us, let brotherly love continue. So the question is, now that you have in mind, okay, these people I know, I have as family. Okay, I know these people in my church are family. Okay, once you take those, set those aside for a second. Don't neglect them, keep those relationships up. But I want you to think about those people not in your little circle of friends that are in this church, that are part of this church family. Okay? Those people that you had in your mind that said, you know what, I don't really know that person really well. Now, how are you going to build that family relationship? How are you going to do that? How do we go about strengthening, establishing bonds so that I have more people I can count on for encouragement, for help, for whatever I need? How can I do that? Fellowship! Ha! There's your purpose for fellowship! So in the early church, what did they do? They focused on apostolic doctrine, fellowship, prayers, breaking of bread. That's what they do. It takes time to establish bonds. It takes purpose to grow and develop relationships. So what does that mean about the rest of my life? But you don't understand, Shannon, because I have to do this all week long. I'm stuck doing this all week long. I don't have time. Question. What's important? When it gets down to it, what's really important? Is it stuff? Or is it people? We have to be able to make time specifically for this group of people that meet together on Sunday mornings, on Sunday evenings, throughout the week. Small groups, discipleship relationships. We've got to make these things a priority in our life. Otherwise, we can't fulfill this command. Let brotherly love continue. And you might be thinking, okay, great, fine. But you know, this is only one of the commands in Scripture, and there's so many others that I've got to focus on, right? This is just one of the smaller commands. This is a big one, actually. In fact, you can find it in Romans chapter 12. You want to turn back with there? Back with me there. Romans chapter 12. Paul says it here. Chapter 12 and verse 10 says this. Actually, let's start in verse 9. Marks of a true Christian is the headline in my Bible. But it says this: let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Oh, there it is in Romans. Well, there's other places, did you know? 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, right before Timothy. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 9, it says, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. So Paul here commends the Thessalonians for loving one another. John chapter 13, go back to the gospel. The Gospel of John 13. Verses 34 and 35, Jesus says this: a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. 1 John chapter 2. We've studied 1 John recently. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 9. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light. Talking about our relationship with God. Our relationship with this body of believers, with our family of believers, has bearing on our relationship with the Father. Isn't that interesting? That's 1 John 2, verse 9. How about 1 John chapter 3, verse 11? For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother, okay? The complete opposite of murdering is loving, right? Then we have 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. It's part of, as somebody who's been born into the family of God, it is part of our spiritual DNA to love one another. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. How about 1 Peter? Right after the book of Hebrews and James, we have 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart and a humble mind. He says, let brotherly love continue. Hey, Philadelphia, Mineto. Strive for it. Work for it. Sometimes it's tough. How are you going to reach out to the person across the room who doesn't normally sit by you, maybe, and make them family? Build those bonds. It might mean forgiveness. I know over the years, you know, people, families have problems. Has there ever been a time when you have not talked to one of your siblings for a while because you got mad at them? Or they got mad at you? Seriously, I didn't talk to my brother for, how many years was that? 2 or 3 years. Maybe longer. Which it says, that one says it helps purify our souls. It's part of the discipleship process. But the question is, how are you going to make that person, maybe that you have struggled with in years past, how are you going to make them family? Because I know that there are hurts, that people have hurt you. People in this church have hurt you. Because it's what happens in families. How are you going to get over it? How are you going to get past it to make these relationships stronger, to build them? It takes forgiveness. It takes humility. Maybe there's something that you did wrong a long time ago, offended somebody, and you don't even remember it anymore, but they do. What is keeping you apart? What is it going to take for you to be family with somebody else? It doesn't say you have to have compatible personalities. You can have incompatible personalities and still learn to love each other. Because you're part of the family of God. You have the Spirit in you. Now, I might be stirring up a bunch of hornet's nests here. I don't know. Old hurts that haven't quite healed. It's better to go work in the relationship and let the relationship heal. Yes. Yes, it is risky. We like our relationships to be safe, right? But sometimes there's a risk involved, especially when you go in for the sake of building family bonds. What are you going to do with your life? Maybe there's some time you have at a certain part of the day where you can reorder things and say, you know what, I want to meet with this person, I want to talk to them, I want to get to know them. You might not even like the same things, but I want to have that family-type relationship. Because we all understand it's important, right? It should be a priority in our lives. Am I willing to take the risk? Am I willing to go and do that? Because you know what? I can't make two people get together because, number one, I may not know all the issues. I may not know that there are any issues. I tend to be a glass half or glass half full type of a guy instead of a glass half empty. And so I like to think of things as just hunky-dory. And that might not be the case. I can't do it. If you have an issue, and I think that's one of the things when we look at the Lord's Supper, we have an issue with the Lord's Supper, with somebody else, the Lord's Supper, that's why we get it right first. Because we come together as a family. We need to be a body of believers bent on building relationships within the body. So that when people see us and our love for each other, they will understand that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We are heading in this direction, even when it's tough, even when it's hard. And each of us has to take that mentality on. We're not out for justice. So don't get me wrong when I say that. We're not out for justice. We're out for the relationship. Actually, if you look at the rest of Hebrews, by the way, that passage in Hebrews 13 that I'm looking at. Now, we've focused on that one verse, and it's time to end. That's how I planned it, okay? But you look at the rest of Hebrews chapter 13. It says, let brotherly love continue. Now it says, how, it says, well, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For there some have committed or entertained angels, okay? Some of this times this family relationship extends beyond our own walls to other Christians in other places. Remember those who are in prison, those who are being imprisoned for their faith, as though you are in prison with them. Here we're giving us an example of how to empathize with that person. Think of it as you're going through that same trial with them. Be with them, struggle with them, pray with them. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your relationship pure. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Another big, big barrier to relationship, being focused on stuff. And sometimes when we get put in the grinder, when we get put in the pressure, we get focused on the stuff that we want and the stuff that we want to do and the stuff that we want to have, and so we let the relationship slide, don't we? We got to ask ourselves, what is it that's really important here? What are we doing? How can we do this? It says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Isn't that cool? Think about the trials, the struggles that we have. And think about what happens when we place our trust in God and we have all the support from our family and we can walk through this trial, this struggle confidently and say, I will not fear. What can man do to me? We might be looking at this thing, it's tough, it's risky, I'm scared of it. But when we get into it and we get going, it says, I can say this, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? Kind of opposite ends of the spectrum, isn't it? When you're in a situation and you're scared and focused and on yourself and focused on pain versus God's my helper. It hurts a little bit, yeah, but God's getting me through this. What can really happen, really? So, think. Who are those people that are family? Continue to build those relationships. But who are the people that may not be family yet? How am I going to go after them? Maybe it's healing a relationship. Maybe it's beginning a relationship. But each of us have to do it. Pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, such a simple verse, such a simple concept, but so hard sometimes to follow through with. We have so many fears. There are obstacles, hurts, things that hold us back. And God, I just ask that you would make us a people right now who would be interested, who would be striving to let brotherly love continue. God, I know that there are hurts here. I pray that you would heal them.